So we welcome everybody, and we would like to take you to a journey, because tonight is it's Father's Day. We're going to reflect on one of the most blessed functions of our bodies, one of the most blessed opportunities that we have in this life to give another life. It is what we do with the faculty of sex in general. And we're going to talk about sex, spirit influences, and destiny. Can you hear me well back there? Can you hear me well? Yes? Okay. All right, so then we put it together based on this book that is not translated into English yet, but shall become a new release probably next year. It's the book Sexo e Destino, Sex and Destiny, by the spirit André Luiz, the spirit doctor who, through the hands of Chico Xavier, the medium, brought to us so many teachings. And when we talk about Chico Xavier, we talk about a teaching that we often hear about but barely understand what it means. When he started his journey in the spiritist practice, he started talking to his spirit mentor, Emmanuel. And Emmanuel came to him once and said, "Well, Chico, if you really want to join us in this journey, all you have to do is okay." But people hear about this word and they go by, all right, discipline, a lot of discipline. Is that what he really meant? We don't think so. He actually meant something that is beyond just the discipline of time. It's beyond just the discipline of fulfilling the duties of our daily lives. It's beyond that. It's the intellectual discipline, one. Meaning, we really need to work our brains out to fulfill the duties of our lives. Then the emotional discipline, to boost our emotional intelligence. Meaning, knowing how to control and balance our emotions. Know how to deal with them without either repressing or liberating them to levels of lack of control. And finally, the third discipline, which we could probably interpret as the spiritual discipline. It's the spiritual nourishment that we need to fulfill the duties of our spiritual intelligence with grace, which we probably forget. So, when we talk about sex and destiny, we're talking about discipline, discipline, discipline. But these disciplines that actually mean working our intellect, working our emotions, and our spirituality. And when we're talking about this consciousness and this awareness, the mindfulness of life, then we're talking about a book that really explains a lot about our lives. Why would André Luiz bring to us teachings about two families if it were not to represent to us what happens to us most often in our society? So the story we're going to hear today are true accounts, but they are based on the fact that many of the features either happen in our lives or in the lives of the people that are closest to us. And these may save a lot of trouble in the future if we pay very close attention to what the spirits really want to tell us. So at the introduction, Emmanuel, the spirit mentor of Chico Xavier, writes a preface saying, "Love and sex imprint natural responsibilities in their own consequences, and nobody hurts others' affective treasures without painful reparations." So to be fully aware that we are responsible for the feelings that we evoke in other people, We are responsible for the feelings that we trigger in other people's hearts. Whether they are from the other sex or our closest friends, but we are responsible. I may not go there and make sex with a person, but I may be just exchanging vulgar thoughts, vulgar feelings. And that intakes and entails responsibility as well. We see André Luiz in other books, like in The Domains of Mediumship, showing very clearly a guy was just passing by in the street and he looked at a girl and kept thinking of her and went to the mediumistic meeting. That night, he got stuck. He couldn't go to the spirit realm to learn and serve. Why? Because he was entrapped into his own web of lower vibrations. And we are not saying that sex is something dirty, but we're just saying here that if we are responsible the way we use it, our destiny will be different. This book is very straightforward. It's not a conventional book. It's a very different book that opens the doors for reflections of things in a way that, as Jesus said, he said, I won't be able to tell you many things, but one day I will send you the Promised Consoler, and the Promised Consoler will tell you everything I couldn't have told you. And this is what André Luiz is telling us now. Everything Jesus couldn't tell us at the time, very clearly and straightforwardly. So there is no doubt that when André Luiz comes, he says, at his own introduction to the book, sex and destiny, love and conscience, liberty and commitment, guilt and rescue, home and reincarnation are the themes of this book, Born in Daily Life. And when we talk about freedom and commitment, responsibility, and we talk about conscience, we remember of Marilyn Monroe. Marilyn Monroe, one of the most beautiful women of the American culture of all times, who still is an icon, sex symbol for many. When she died, and it was during a trip of Chico Xavier in these very lanes of the American, of the New York actually, it was New York, that the spirit Humberto de Campos approached her and engaged into a conversation in which he asked many things that every one of us would like to ask her. And one of the most amazing things that she said is that she regretted what she did with her freedom. She said, freedom is a treasure. And in other words, she said, if she knew how to use her freedom better, she would have suffered much less. Because she spent a whole life of glory and fame in many ways, but deep inside, she was often depressed, taking medication. Things that people got to know only when she died. Then, in that sense, we begin the story of this book by introducing to you two families, the Nogueiras and the Torres. The Nogueiras are the father, the mother, and the two daughters. And the Torres, the father, the mother, and really the son. But it's not the Trinity, okay? So, the Nogueiras, Mr. Claudio, and then we have his wife, Miss Marcia, Marina, and Marita, their sisters. And we have the Torres, Mr. Nemesio, married to Mrs. Beatriz, and their son, Gilberto. And then our story begins by getting to know that they actually have... Should I use it? Yes. It is working. Yay. It feels better then. Should I use it by him? Yeah. All right. So now, we get to know that there is a spirit team helping those two families, which is very good to know, because today is Father's Day, and most likely, the guardian angels of each of our families are really trying to do the best of their abilities for us to open our hearts and engage into better relationships within our own families, taking advantage of the occasion. So here we have Andrea Luiz as being, in this book, Andrea Luiz is already someone who is helping. And then we have Pedro Neves, who is the father of Mrs. Beatriz in the Taurus family. And we have the most enlightened spirit that is actually leading a lot of other enlightening spirits, Brother Felix. Let's keep it in mind. Brother Felix is the leader of the helping team. He counts on the help of the father of one of the people in that family who is deceased in the spirit realm, and Andrea Luiz, who is telling us the story after he has actually spent time helping the families. But we also got to know that there is an obsessing spirit leader. Of course, why not? Why not? We all have other spirits that are with us for not very elevated purposes. And this is the case of this guy, Morera. But he has friends as well that partake into his plans. And the story begins when Mrs. Beatriz is actually sick. She's very ill, and she's laying down on her bed. Later she goes to the hospital. And in the spirit realm are Andrea Luiz, the father of Mrs. Beatriz, an assistant. They are all commanded and guided by the higher spirit, which is Brother Felix, right? So they are there knowing that there is no other way for her but to cross over. So they are preparing. She has merit and credit to receive help. But then she goes to the hospital at the extreme days, and there with her are her deceased father and Andrea Luiz, which is very interesting for us to know that each and every person who lives on this earth has loved ones, for sure, has loved ones in the afterlife who are helping, who are trying their best to really guide us into better days, no matter if these better days will be spent in the afterlife. But they will happen. But then, in the waiting room, we have her husband. Her husband, for at this very scene of the book, let's picture it. She's there at that bed, and he is in the waiting room. He's not alone. He's accompanied by Marina. Marina is from the Nogueiras family, okay? So we have the Taurus family here. And Marina is from the Nogueiras family. What is she doing here? She's actually Mr. Nemesio's secretary at his business. You know, most commonly, things happen in ways that twist things around, and they fell in love in some way and form, and started a romance and having an affair. And his wife is actually at the deathbed. She's there to help, but at the same time, in the waiting room, Andrea Luiz is not shy, which is very interesting for us, to show us the dialogue between Nemesio and Marina. He's there committing himself to her, thinking about marrying her, telling her, when my wife dies, we'll get married and I'll make you happy, etc., etc. As outrageous as it sounds, Andrea Luiz doesn't spend a minute hesitating to tell us what's happening and the truth. But then, what happens? Andrea Luiz and Pedro Neves want to know what they're doing. And what do? They come to the waiting room. And Andrea Luiz starts observing the conversation.
And Pedro Neves, of course, he's the father of Mrs. Beatrice. He's so upset with his son-in-law. And Andre Luiz is upset as well, so he starts sending these very judgmental thoughts. They both are so judgmental, and Andre Luiz says, we started thinking of this thing, like, how dare you do this? How can he possibly do such a thing while she is at that bed? And he said to us an observation that most often when we read those pages, we forgot to pay attention. The more they send those judgmental feelings, the more they pushed the both of them, Nemes and Marina, to engage even more into those feelings, the affair feelings. And then to the rescue of them all came Brother Felix. Brother Felix came, and with great compassionate heart, he started looking at Nemes and Marina, and Andre Luiz describes very beautifully that as he looked at them, he looked at two children that didn't know better. And with such compassion, the energy that was sent to them, actually, as if a button was pushed in their conscience, made them feel like, oh well, we need to think of Mrs. Beatrice. And Marina said, let me see how she's doing. And then she left to take care of Mrs. Beatrice. And Nemesis said, okay, I'll stay here for a while, I'm going to smoke a cigarette, and then I'll come and join you there as well. This is one of the main teachings of the book as well, to teach us that our judgmental hearts and minds may actually push people to the abyss of their wrongdoings. It doesn't help anybody. But if we send compassionate hearts and thoughts, then we may help them gain awareness and consciousness much faster. So this is one. And we're not saying this because I have mastered this. I haven't. But this is certainly a teaching that we can practice in our daily lives. So they left. When there, Brother Felix started engaging in a conversation with Andre Luiz and Pedro Neves. And then, suddenly, turning the pages of the book, we have another scene. Andre Luiz is introducing us now to the Nogueiras family. That was the Torres family. And we go to their home, and we learn new things. We learn that Claudio, the man of the house, the husband of Marcia, is there. It's evening. He's seated there on his own, and he's in the other room, in her bedroom, is one of his daughters, Marita. And Andre Luiz, very interestingly, describes to us that Nogueira is actually followed by two spirit friends or obsessors or like-minded guys in so many ways, Moreira and a friend. And he shows that actually they own the house, spiritually speaking. If you were a deceased spirit to enter the Nogueiras family that day, you wouldn't be able to. Andre Luiz tried once. He knocked on the door and Moreira was quite upset. It's like, what are you doing here? Who are you? So any of our homes, let's open a parenthesis here. Who actually owns your home, spiritually speaking? Because Nogueira thought he owned the house. But Andre Luiz is showing us that spiritual, you're paying your bills, but the discarnate spirits are coming and they are taking over. Isn't that sad? Unless it's a good spirit. But if it's spirit like Moreira, it's very sad. Because they actually couldn't open the doors very easily to other spirits because the vibrations of the house were very low. So what happens here then is that Andre Luiz shows to us that Claudio is there like many people when they come from work. What do I do tonight? I don't know. Sat down on the couch, and suddenly came that feeling. Let's drink. Let's drink. And often we think that those thoughts are really just ours. But then they were coming from the true owners of the house, Moreira and the friend. They wanted to drink with Nogueira, with Mr. Claudio. And he started drinking. And André Luiz described, they were so connected to each other, Claudio and Moreira, that they fit well on each other, vibratorily speaking, like a fit into a shoe. As perfectly connected as they were, that Claudio could barely perceive that his thoughts were not his. They were actually the spirits. Start drinking. Well, and the problem happened afterward. He lost his sense of discernment, and the spirits wanted, because Moreira liked Marita for previous lives reasons, he wanted Claudio in some way to incite Claudio to go there and actually try things that are not very elevated, taking advantage of the fact that Marita was suffering. She was sad that day because the guy, Gilberto, who is very, she's in love with him. He was in love, he used to be in love with her, but then he got interested in someone else. And she didn't know about it, but she felt something was off. She felt sad that day. The father came into the room, and coming there, trying to create a problem and a disturbance in her mind. Later she started crying, and André Luiz shows how Pedro Neves and André Luiz were there while she was crying, trying to minimize her suffering by applying the passes. So how often we are sad and we forget that the spirits are seeing us, and they're actually trying to help us. This is also something else that we read and learn in the book. So Claudio and Moreira actually approached Marita in the bedroom, and incited by Moreira in the spirit realm, Claudio is not aware of it. He drank a couple drinks and then started talking to Marita, and then he almost tried to kiss her. As disgusting as it is, this is how André Luiz presents to us the sad story of this family. And Marita then runs away, because her life is so miserable. She, as in love as she is with Gilberto, knowing that Gilberto is actually in love with her sister, she got desperate, getting to know that her father, or then she gets to know that she thinks he adopted her. In one way or another, she felt truly depressed because the adopted mother didn't want her anymore, the sister didn't care for her, the man whom she loved didn't care for her anymore, and then she thought of... Exactly. And Claudio and Moreira tried to make it even more complicated by trying to hit on her and making things become more complex. She runs away, and after so many things, she got into a car accident. She's very injured. She's actually in a coma. She goes to a hospital, and then the drama escalates to another level. And you may be thinking, but Vanessa, why did André Luiz spend these many lines to tell so much drama? You see the end why. At the deathbed, Marita, she's in coma. And Claudio is there to take care of her because the adopted mother doesn't care anymore. He's in a way with Moreira, and they are both repentant and crying. Why? Because they didn't want it.
Thank you.
They didn't want it. They were really not thinking the moves that they were taking. They thought it was based on love, and they realized it got to another direction. So now she's about to die, and they are there at the hospital, trying to help. When they repented and crying, they hear Marita's thoughts. Marita, although she's physically in coma, spiritually speaking, she's saying, she's in this mental loop against her sister. It's all her fault. I hate her. And you think that nobody's listening to her. She doesn't realize that Morera is there. She doesn't realize that somebody's hearing what she's saying. Well, but Morera, as the spirit, he listens to her, and because he's feeling repentant, he feels her pain, and trying to make it up for what he did, he goes after Marina in a revenge motion. And you see how the mistake of one pushes the mistake of another, and then of another, in both realms. And then we open another parenthesis here. We often think that what we're doing here is only affecting the lives of ourselves or the people next to us. How about how we are affecting the lives of those who accompany us in the spirit realm? And we become responsible too. For being the ones who are triggering feelings, actions, because it counts there as well. And in that sense, he goes away after her sister, Marina. He wants revenge. It's her fault. That's why she got so desperate, because he couldn't realize it was also his mistake. He goes after Marina. And Marina's life, by the way, is not doing very well. Because, to our surprise, Marina is in a big conflict because she is in between two affairs. She's having an affair with the father and the son, and none of them know that she's actually having an affair with both. Counting on the thing that she is having an affair with the guy that was supposed to marry her sister, and she has never told him or the father that she is in between them both, knowing that Nemez is also married. As complicated and dramatic as it sounds, the problem here in Marina's life begins with her feelings. She's conflicted. Psychology says, whenever we are conflicted, big problems happen in our lives. Because then we are vibrating to two different directions. We lose energy and we can't move forward. And that's what happened to Marina. But we don't realize something in psychology that only spiritism can explain. When we are being conflicted, it's because there is a root in the feelings of guilt. And guilt opens the door for the obsessors. And that's what happened to her. She only fell prey to Morera because she was feeling guilty for being in this dual relationship. If it weren't for that, probably she wouldn't. As conflicted as she was, she fell prey in the hands of Morera. And what happened to her? Morera took advantage of it and started sending her what Andre Luiz tells us very clearly, mental darts. Sending mental darts. He didn't do anything else but send her thoughts of guilt and shame, saying something like this: you're a bad person. Look what you're doing. Look what you've done to your sister. Look what you've done to Mrs. Beatrice. and look at this and that, and just intensifying the guilt, intensifying the shame. And then what happened to her? She one day is at Mr. Nemesio's home, where Gilberto as the son also lived in. Nemesio is not at home, and she is exchanging, you know, romantic words with Gilberto. And suddenly, the father comes in. Gilberto didn't see the father coming in, but she saw him and he saw her, and she was barely starting to kiss Gilberto when Nemesio saw it all. She couldn't disguise it anymore. She went crazy, as we say. She went into this deep psychiatric crisis that actually put her in a psychiatric unit. And in the psychiatric unit, because she started biting herself and beating herself, nobody could understand what happened to her. Suddenly, she got crazy. But now we know she had conflicts inside of her, and the spirits were taking advantage of it. They were just potentiating it, creating a scenario to make her fall prey in their hands and put her into the psychiatric unit. The goal was to make her quit this life. Okay? And once there, as you can see, Moreira called friends. And they kept on inciting her guilt and shame. Once she was there, they just kept on saying, "You're a bad person. You don't deserve any better. Look what you do to your family. Look what you've done to that family," etc., etc., etc. And she's there. She's there, and then in this big disturbance that Moreira creates to her, Andre Luis comes to the rescue and says, "Look, Moreira, we understand what you're doing." And this is how more elevated spirits act. They don't come and say, "Hey, look, stop what you're doing," because that doesn't work. If we tell children, "Stop what you're doing," what do? Then they do more, right? To childishness in the spirit life, the same happens. It's just the human mind. So, Andre Luis came to invite him, saying, "Look, Moreira, we understand your feelings, but Marita, whom you love and care for, is a deathbed. She needs your energy because the love you feel for her will keep her in that body for the time being before she dies, because we need to keep her there. So you need to go back to the hospital, stay by her side, help her while we do what we have to do." And that was a way for him to convince Moreira to stop doing what he's doing. But Moreira is not a very good guy yet. And what does he do? He leaves. Oh yeah. But then he leaves friends there saying, "Guys, you keep bothering her for me, okay? It's just like mafia. Alright? It's like mafia. When you see these movies, the mob, this is pretty much how it happens in our daily lives. You know, sometimes our friends will be more bothered by what people do to us than ourselves. Am I right? Sometimes if you have a child, somebody does something to your child, you are more hurt than the child herself. And in this realm, it wouldn't be any different. So then in this case, we learn that they are still there. Well, Andre Luis will find a way with Brother Felix to rescue Marina as well. Bananas. Back to Marita's hospital. Marita, from the car accident. Through a pharmacist, Claudio becomes a spiritist. Because repented as he was, the pharmacist who was visiting Marita gave him the gospel according to Spiritism. And as Marita was on the deathbed, Claudio kept reading the gospel and reading and praying, meditating. He transformed his life, became a new man, says Andre Luiz. And as a new man, he started influencing Marita. Marita didn't like him very much for the steps he took before she got into the car accident. She couldn't forgive him. But then Andre Luiz and Pedro Neves in the spirit realm were always trying to encourage him to keep persevering in his reflections till the day he would gain Marita's trust and forgiveness before she crossed over to the spirit realm. For her own benefit, for his own benefit, for everybody's benefit. So of course this story is very much detailed, and here we're just cutting short to some highlights of the book. A book that once you start reading, you don't stop until the end. And actually you want more, you want the sequel. You really want it, because it makes you reflect on so many things in this life. But then at deathbed, when Marita is there, Moreira, giving her the vitalizing fluids, keeps her there for a little longer. That's why some people are in coma and staying there for a while. And we're like, is it a punishment? No, it's a blessing. Is it a blessing, Vanessa, to be in coma? More than we think. Because that time that we're pushed to be in that temporary jail of the body, many things are happening to the people that are connected to us and ourselves. Things we need to resolve before we cross over to the benefit of all. So the next time we realize things are happening to that level, instead of feeling that it's a curse, we should say it's a blessing in disguise. Because look at what is happening here. While they are keeping Marita on the deathbed, they are working on Claudio's transformation, Moreira's transformation, both realms. The transformation of the sister who is in the hospital, of the son Gilberto, and many other people. And then we get to know that Mrs. Beatriz, for that time being, is already in the spirit realm. She died way before Marita died, and she wants to visit the planet Earth. She wants to visit her husband, whom she thought was the most faithful guy on the planet, and the son, and the other people whom she loved. Andre Luiz knows what's happening, Pedro Neves as well, and Brother Felix. But there is something in this book that is very interesting. Our free will doesn't stop here. When we cross over back to spirit realm, we keep on being free spirits. As free as we can be there, and God gives us that freedom. She was free to choose, and she was granted the opportunity to visit. And now imagine the mess that is happening at that time. Gilberto and the fathers not speaking to each other because they love the same woman. Who is this young lady who belongs to the Nogueiras family, and Mrs. Beatriz thought of her as the best companion she could have in that planet because she was taking care of her while she was ill at deathbed. She doesn't know anything about it. And you see, sometimes we ask for things that probably we shouldn't ask. Because if we knew better, we would hurt ourselves less. But in this case, they couldn't refrain. They granted her the wish. Pedro Neves told his daughter, okay, you want to go, Beatriz, we'll come with you. Andre Luiz knew it all and said, you know, if you want, we can come. Let's go there. She comes and visits the family, and when she sees the big disappointment that she gets into her heart, she gets in such distress that she goes nuts. She really enters the psychiatric state of her mind. We can go crazy as spirits in the afterlife as well. This is one of the first times that André Luiz shows to us how a spirit can go into great imbalance in the afterlife because of his whims. They told her, maybe not now. And he said, but yes, I want. Maybe not now, but yes, I do want it. She went there. When she saw it all, the husband wasn't faithful. The father and the son are not talking to each other. The woman who was taking care of her is actually the one that stepped on her back and was cheating with her husband. She goes crazy. She gets admitted into a psychiatric unit in the spirit realm because they have it there as well. And you're like, oh, Vanessa, I want to hear happy news. You'll hear happy news very soon. For the time being, it is just like human life on Earth. So, for that time being that Beatrice is in the spirit realm, Marita then is released from the spirit, the physical body, goes to the spirit realm, she dies. And what happens to the people then? Marita and Gilberto get married. And Claudio is transformed and reformed, and he's helping the couple. Because now he has a spiritist, he realizes he is in charge of making that family go back to track. Because it derailed. The families, the Torres and the Nogueiras, were families, not bad people. But they were people who didn't care about their spirituality. Their spiritual intelligence was blunt. They were people that would go to work, care about material life, and that's all that mattered. And they wanted to be happy. But then the tragedy happened in their lives to give them a wake-up call that life is much more than the body shows us and that the eyes can see. Claudia was the transformative element in that story. Marita's death, and then Claudio took over to help the couple. And sad to say that Nemesio, knowing that Marina is now with his son and he's pretty upset, he gets into this romance with Claudio's former wife. It's a mess. They go travel in Europe for 6 months and he's still thinking of Marina. Thinking, she's mine. She's mine. She's not my son. She's not my son. And then he looks at the mother and thinks, this is Marina, just a little bit older, or a lot older. But you know, his masculine impulses, André Luiz says, push him to this kind of behaviors. So we see here, as we said before, the discipline of emotions, the discipline of the spirit is lacking in so many levels. The intellect in some way as well. And then André Luiz opens a parenthesis here to introduce to us to the institute that is actually taking care of Mrs. Beatrice and all these spirits in some way. It's the Institute of the Sibling Souls. And in this institute, as you can picture here, it's something that we can visit maybe when we die, if we are, you know, in the profile. They keep the patient's records. So very likely before we reincarnated here, we were admitted at some of these institutes, if not for this purpose, other purposes. And they still keep our record there, and there are people who are watching over us, knowing precisely whom we were and what we have to do in this life to succeed in this reincarnation. Then, they have also a complaint department. So if somebody goes complain about us, saying, you know, Vanessa hurt my feelings, they write it down.
It's a gel, right?
Is what?
Gel. Prison.
Jail?
Oh, really? Is it?
I don't know.
As far as I know, it's a hospital of the souls.
But they keep records of the complaints. So that's why Jesus said to us,
go reconcile with the ones that complain about you. While you have time.
And in this institute, they have re-education
of our
sexual function. Spiritually speaking, it says sexual re-education. And he tells us very clearly the types of courses that they give there. Sex and love, sex and marriage, sex and fraternity, sex and stimulus, sex and balance, sex and medicine, sex and evolution, sex and law. Who knows if we were taking those courses before we reincarnated so we could understand better ourselves and re-educate ourselves, our minds. Is it possible? And I'll calm down just to be a little bit closer. How often we walk in the streets, and one day I was telling a friend, he looked at a girl, and this girl was dressed up in a way that was a little vulgar. And he made a comment, you know, putting her down to himself. And he said, what if that girl were your sister? Would you still make that comment? Probably to her. But that would be more fair than saying it in your mind and look at her. Can't you just cross that barrier of the body and look at that person with a different eye? Is it possible? Some people ask, especially because we are immersed in this Brazilian culture, that it emits so much sensuality, right? Different from the American culture. And we think that being sexy and sensual is so right and normal. And we don't realize what we are actually doing. Sending those messages. And of course, in the spirit, it centers the way for us to re-educate ourselves. From the way we dress when we come to the center. In a respectful way. So when people look at us, we don't want them to look at us for the way the bodies are. For the way that we are. We're not saying we're going to be hypocrites here. But we're just saying, what is the type of message that we're sending to people? Because then when people look at us with different eyes, we can't blame them. But if still people are sending those messages, it's up to us to decide if we want to engage at that level. Or if we want to be just like Jesus taught us. Be able to look at the woman at the well who was very vulgar in her life. He could look at her, make her be useful to him in the sense of give me water, woman. He would respect her so much that he would cross the traditional barrier of not speaking to a woman in public and say, I know you, and if you drink of my waters, you'll never be thirsty again. Telling her, I know you are beyond what you're displaying in your life. And for me, you matter more than the many husbands you have. And the needs that you still have as a woman. There will be a day in which we'll be able to do that. And respect one another, no matter if we are married, single, divorced, or a widower. It's just beyond the status of this life. And that's what this institute does. This institute comes and re-educates us. And it should be something to be educated in the center as well. Because it's the opportunity for us to think about. If here we don't teach these things, where are we going to learn it? In the schools? At work? In the streets, at home, very likely not. So then, it's the opportunity. Teaching people how to dress themselves properly to come to the center is one thing. Something we talk about in the Spiritist centers in Brazil a whole lot. to the way they look at each other. Here, promoting that true fraternal feeling that goes beyond this vulgarity, right? And we are talking about things of daily life. Because if we don't practice it here, where will we practice it? And that's what André Luiz is inviting us to do. He shows us something very interesting too, that at this institute, they prepare people who have these sexual problems and imbalances to reincarnate and succeed in their reincarnations. And they show statistics that in 8 years of work, they helped 6,000 spirits in their institute alone, showing that 18% of the 6,000 spirits came back to the spirit realm after their reincarnation absolutely victorious. 22 of these 6,000 spirits came back improved. 26 came back to the spirit realm imperfectly improved. And only, let's say, a third of the 6,000 spirits came back to the spirit realm with more debts than when they reincarnated. It's not too bad. It's not too bad. It would be worse if it were the reverse. 2/3 came back worse, but it's a third. Where do we want to be there? The 18%? The 22%? Believe the 26%? We certainly don't want to be in the 34% range group. So this is our opportunity to think about it, where we are. And beautifully, this book marches to the end of this, the telling of the story, showing us that in that institute, they have different types of therapies. And the enlightening spirits, they were taking care of Mrs. Beatriz. So they go back to where we stopped, where Mrs. Beatriz was going nuts because of her disappointment, and she needed treatment. She was put into deep sleep, and with the help of André Luiz, Pedro Neves, and Brother Felix, she was put into a trance state, what we call the hypnotherapy. She was pushed to do a regression therapy. And they started seeing something which is very interesting. Mrs. Beatriz left the earth very ill. Nobody would tell that she held grudges in her heart. She was this housewife that would be sweet and kind to the husband and son, a good neighbor, etc., etc. But what we don't know is that from a millennial's perspective, she actually had unfinished business to take care of from previous lives. And that's what they started seeing. Through the regression therapy, they show us that the people we are seeing, they knew each other from a previous life. So they go back to 1792, a previous life, 150 some years before that very life that André Luiz is describing. And shows that Mrs. Beatriz in a previous life was actually a lady named Leonor Talis. Leonor was married and to a guy and had a son named Alvaro. And then she remarried because the guy died with Justiniano Telles. So again, Nemesio and Beatriz were married 150 some years before that life and had a son. Marcia was British. Claudio was Teodoro. Again, they were married 150 some years previously. Marina is Virginia. Marita is not in the scenario yet. These two families were good friends of one another until the day, out of pride, because you know our families are like, oh, the sweet 16, right? I want to introduce my child to the world. And people forget that when you show off, you pay a price. and they were paying a price. Alvaro came back from Portugal, where he was studying, and they wanted to introduce Alvaro to the society. They made a big party, invited the Castaneras, and what happened there? He's quite young, and he gets interested in Mrs. Castaneda. Alvaro and Britta started having an affair. What happens to Teodoro? He gets upset, leaves the marriage, and say, okay, you want to have an affair? Be my guest. I'm out. He's out of there. And then Alvaro, in some way, is there having an affair while a woman named Naninha, who is actually Marina in this last life, starts an affair with Teodoro. Who is Teodoro in this current life? What is his name? Claudio. Who is Naninha? Marita. Now we understand why Claudio felt this impulse to hit on Marita. Because in a previous life, they were in a romantic relationship. And how often our children were former partners, and now we are learning to love them past that romantic relationship. Oh, Vanessa, that's disgusting. Don't blame me. Neither Andrea Luis. It's on God's rules. That's the rule of the game. If you don't learn to love with detachment, you'll learn it this way. By having your own children coming back, your former love affairs come back so you can love them with a more sublime feeling. Alright? And that's not disgusting at all. It's actually beautiful. But then the story becomes complicated because the former friends became enemies and Alvaro doesn't want to be with Britis anymore. He wants to go back because he forgot he had a fiancé in Portugal. Oh my God. And then he says, hey father, his father, how about if you look at Britis, you know, take care of her for me. And pushes the father to have an affair with the woman that he was having an affair. And that's when the mess gets more complicated. Because then he goes away. Rita started this affair with Justiniano. And then Leonor gets pretty upset. She leaves the marriage. Leaves them alone. And then later, Rita, because she's older, she brings Virginia to live with them and allows Justiniano to have an affair with her daughter. It's like Hollywood movie, right? When Hollywood finds this book, they're gonna make a big drama book movie, for sure. And they're gonna show to us in this book that actually Marina and Nemesio in this life engaged into the affair because actually they were repeating the things from a previous life. And then as they repeated it, this guy, who is the father of Virginia, got so disgusted, they got into this big revenge and this very conflicted relationship that Naninha, who is Marina in this life, creates an accident so Justiniano dies. As well as Teodoro is going to die at the end. Then we ask, the guy that created the biggest drama of all is Alvaro. He's a guy who came from Portugal and engaged into this relationship with a woman that was married. Pushed her to engage into a relationship with his father, now thinking of his mother. And then the drama began, and now we think, who is this guy? Because we know who everybody was but Alvaro. Who do you think he was? If you know because of the book, don't say anything. You think Moreira? You don't say anything. Who do you think he was? The guy that created the mess of all times. Don't be surprised. The grandfather, Pedro Neves. Almost there, getting closer. André Luiz, my goodness. That's why he was in the lower zone for so long. We should be longer than 8 years. Brother Felix. My goodness. What does this tell us, my friends? It tells us that God is compassionate towards us. That Brother Felix, who created it all right, surpassed himself, lived opportunities, woke up, and now, from a more elevated position, he is in charge of rescuing everybody whom he pushed to great imbalance. Everybody has their story. And the enlightening spirits do as well. They were once people who didn't know better, and now they do. That's why they look at us and say, it's okay. Even if you make a big mistake, they don't judge. Because they were there once. And probably were there pushing us as well to those mistakes. Now we shouldn't turn ourselves against them. On the contrary, feel their protection. Because Brother Felix comes and is the one who is now rescuing all these people in this family and helping Marina and Gilberto getting married. And André Luiz tells us the plan was for Marita to get married to Gilberto, not Marina. But now it's too late. Plan B. There's always a plan B, C, D, probably Z, and then it starts all over again. Probably it's the second turnaround in the alphabet. All right? When we think, yeah, I'm getting to plan A, probably it's the second turnaround we have been to all the plans. Because there's always a second plan. So now it's the opportunity to address those things. There's always a way for us to find our way home from where we are. We're never lost. And in that reality, they will prepare Marita to be reincarnated as their child. She will be close to Gilberto, but as a daughter. Because the final goal is actually for them to love each other in a more sublime way. And Marita will then learn to make it up for the sister that now becomes her daughter. So then we see our lives from a whole different perspective. Think of our families, Father's Day, and thinking, wow, the miracles of life. Miracles in the sense, the marvelous things that the love of God makes in our lives, bringing us closer, no matter what, we will be closer until we learn to love each other and respect one another. And Brother Felix will reincarnate as their son as well. Oh, so he will come. And the book ends with a beautiful scene when they are at the beach in Rio de Janeiro, of course. And then, the spirits are there, Brother Felix, André Luiz, Pedro Neves. Marita is already reincarnated as their daughter. Brother Felix is reincarnated. And Marcia, who was the woman, British, whom Brother Felix, as Alvaro, got an affair, pushed to the father, etc. Now, as a little child, André Luiz describes, he's walking at the beach, looks at the grandmother, and says, "Hey, grandma." And then the mother says, "Don't you have something to tell your grandma?" "Yes. We look forward to having you living with us very soon." Inviting her to live with them because she's getting older and shouldn't be by herself. And Andre Luis wraps it up, inviting us to feel the amazing compassion that the spirits have with us. This compassion that makes us re-experience things in our lives, gives us always second chances. And who are we not to give ourselves a second chance? A third, a fourth. So when we think about these teachings, the spirits are inviting us to think about what we're doing with the best of our abilities that are given to us, as Mackenzie clearly explained to us with Emmanuel's passage. Have you thought about this? Have you thought about what you're doing with your body? It's not only for us to show to other people, to attract people towards us, or to abuse it due to our whims of eating more than we should, or using it in excessive work, etc., etc., in detriment to our family duties sometimes, or even engaging, as the book says, into these sexual commitments that sooner or later will call us for reparation. So tonight, as we have 2 minutes to wrap it up, I'd like to invite you to close your eyes. Let's close our eyes for a minute. And we let our children say what they need to say, cry if they need to cry. And we bless them. Because right now, we visualize enlightening arms, embracing us. The compassionate hearts of our guardian angels. They know us. They know you. They love you, no matter what. Feel the enlightening embrace that you're receiving now. And because it's Father's Day, let us send our gratitude to the Father that gave us the physical life in this life. No matter if we haven't met Him, no matter if we have met and still are not as close as we wanted, or if we love our Father, we send a hug of gratitude. And our gratitude also goes to our guardian angel, our spirit mentor. And we say, dear spirit guides of our lives, who in the name of God have come to guide us, protect us, inspire all of us. Thank you for your patience. Thank you also for your guidance. And tonight, we reflect on the beauty of life, on the calling that you have placed long ago, so we can feel better and fulfill the unique task that the Father of all fathers have proposed to us. Our dear God. Dear Mother, Father God, who loves us unconditionally, may you protect us all always. We don't demand anything because we know we are not entitled to it and we don't want to. But we ask you, give us the strength. Give us also the hope that we need, so we can keep on marching without hesitation, and bless the walls of this temple of light, the Fe Alma. May the spirit directors of this home of light inspire and protect it. And may we all get attuned with their minds in gratitude for allowing us to spend this hour and a half of fraternity, of support, mutual support, and understanding. In your guidance, protection, and permission, we thank you for this meeting, and so be it.